We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we work and live, the Awabakal and Worimi people, and pay our respects to elders past and present. We celebrate the stories, culture, and traditions of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders of all communities who also work and live on this land.
You're listening to Boob to Food, the podcast with Luca McCabe and Kate Holm. There is so much noise in the parenting space.
And we don't mean the tantruming toddler. We understand it can feel confusing, conflicting, and overwhelming.
That's why we are bringing our years of experience as a midwife, nutritionist, and naturopath.
And of course, mums.
So that you can confidently navigate the roller coaster of motherhood from boob to food and beyond.
Each week, you'll hear practical wisdom, expert advice, and inspirational stories of other mums in the depths of this parenting journey.
Let's dive in. Today's episode was brought to you by Haka.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Boob to Feed the podcast. Hey, Kate, how are you going?
Yeah, pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, good. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been okay. We came off the back of Jude was unwell last week, so he missed a couple of days of school, which he was super disappointed about. And then, unfortunately, it seems to have now made its way to Immy, so she's got a little cough, which is so sad.
Aww.
I know. She's in pretty good spirits, but it's not nice when you hear your little ones coughing. Like, she's not struggling to breathe, but, of course, all of my, like, anxiety gets activated and I'm, like, opening up her clothes, checking that she's not having any, like, respiratory distress symptoms. And anyway, she is fine. I am not.
But are you getting any sleep?
Yeah, actually she was okay last night. We did have a night a couple of nights ago when she was really unsettled and like quite grisly. And you know, those nights where like you feed a million times and then I thought, oh, I'll just have a look at the clock. Maybe it's like almost morning. It was 12:30. And I honestly feel like we mustn't have slept at all yet. It's probably partly my fault too, because I've been avoiding dairy since she was born because it was making her vomit and like quite uncomfortable. And I thought, oh, I'll just start trying a little bit to see if she's okay with it now, especially in the lead up to starting solids. And so like I had a little bit and that seemed fine. So I had a little bit more and that seemed fine. And then it was my mother-in-law's birthday. And so we went to their place on the weekend and she'd made a cheesecake and I'd made with the kids a birthday cake as well that was like full dairy. And I thought, I'll just have some and see how it is. And it seemed okay. And so then I brought some cheesecake home with us and I've been having it for lunch. And that probably has not helped because now she's like gassy and like that was probably adding to her discomfort. But anyway, she's not like vomiting as much as she was with the dairy. So I think that's a win.
But that's good.
Yeah, it's kind of that like, how far do I push this before I'm like, oh, I probably can't have cheesecake for lunch every day, which I wouldn't anyway.
Oh, well, I'm glad she's not vomiting.
Yeah.
But to get over the restricted diet.
Yeah, just to have a little bit more flexibility. It's just that then yeah, I probably have to zoom back into my own body and dairy is not something that I consume a whole lot of anyway because of my own symptoms. So anyway, it's fun to like have a bit of a taste every now and then. But otherwise, yeah, our week's been good, just like still in the roller coaster of the school run and three-year-old emotions, which I know we talked about a couple of weeks ago with Dr. Billy Garvey, all about tantrums. I had a funny one this week, which I shared with you, and it was like before basically the sun wasn't even up and we'd been up and Bowie has been asking to have a chai, which I'm like, oh yeah, sure, you can have a chai. It's the made tea one. It's yummy and good ingredients. She probably just likes it because it tastes sweet. Anyway, I thought, well, she really likes this, so I'll give her like a full cup. That was a bad idea. She didn't like that. So then she was yelling at me that it was too full. She didn't want it was too full. I was like, okay, well, I can make it less full. I'll tip some out. So I walked over and then I was like, oh, I'll just take a sip and that will make it less full. And so she said, yes. So I took a sip and then she immediately, no, give it back. I want the full bit back. I'm like, well, I can't give you the full bit back. She like didn't want, I was like, I can top your cup up with some other milk or you know, you can just drink this, there's still heaps there. She's like, no, I want the full bit in another cup. I was like, well, I can't actually do that. And then I joked and was like, maybe I'll have to do what the mummy birds do and vomit it up so they give it to their babies. And she was like, all right, like on board with that. And I was like, no, Bowie, I can't actually vomit back up the chai. And so then that led to a meltdown and it wasn't even 6 a.m.
So go down there.
Yeah.
That's all I'm dealing with in a moment too.
How's your week been?
Yeah, just filled with toddler tantrums. Like, it's the only way I can put it. I said to Jesse yesterday, I was like, I needed a tap out. Will was driving me absolutely nuts. Everything's a problem at the moment. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just can't deal with this kid. Mm. Anyway, it's fine. I'm going away next week, kid free. Hallelujah.
Oh, kid free. Oh yes, of course. Kid-free. I did actually know that. It hadn't occurred to me that was that was what you were doing. But
yeah,
how exciting.
Yeah. Our big group of friends is going with our partners. So yeah, there's like I think 14 of us going. So
how many nights are you away?
Three, and I am like hanging for it. And then we get home and then we go camping the next day. So that'll be like a bit of a run around back to reality. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 3 nights kid free. Oh, if anyone's listening, they're probably all gearing up to start solids and they're in the thick of, you know, baby town where you can't leave. Anyway, it gets easier. It does come. Freedom comes.
Oh, so nice. Thank goodness. I kind of can't wait to hear about your trip, but I'll probably be so jealous.
I'm sure you'll see it all over Instagram. We'll be just living our best lives. I'm so excited. I feel like I haven't left Will. I can't remember the last time he's had. Oh, when I went to Byron. So when was that? That was the end of the year. Mm-hmm. What's it now? So it's only been March. 3 months. No, 4 months.
Yeah.
Anyway, I haven't left him at all since then overnight. So I'm like just hanging for a night to myself. You know, and we were saying like we're going to a vineyard and we were thinking like we don't, because it's the partners too. And normally it's like, oh, us mums have to come home to relieve the partners or they'll get cranky or, you know, vice versa. Or we have a babysitter we've got to come home to. Whereas we're like, we don't have to come home. Goodness. We can do whatever we want.
Wow. You're not going to know yourself.
We have to have a curfew. So funny, you're a teenager and you have a curfew and you have to come home at a certain time and then you become a grown adult with kids and the same thing happens. You have a curfew. And then you also don't want to have too much fun because you've got to pay for it the next day and still parent and you can't sleep in. And so anyway, I'm so excited.
I'm so jealous, but I will live vicariously through you and know that my time will come.
Your time will come. Yep. And I keep thinking to myself because we don't plan on having any more children. My husband has not made the appointment to go and make this official. So hopefully he does soon. But, you know, I just think like, oh, I'm free now. Like this is my life now. I've done the hard yards.
Yeah.
You know, 9 years of this. Wow. It's time to tap out. I'm so excited.
Oh, so good.
It comes. Well, freedom comes.
I'm going right into the other end of it and that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode. So I won't share too much, but it's all about starting solids because we're gearing up to start again with Immy. And actually in the episode I mentioned that she's not ready at all and not very stable. And then after we recorded, I thought, I'll just pop her in the high chair and take a bit of, you know, a video or photos of what it looks like for a baby who's not ready. And within days, she was like so much more stable and upright in the high chair. So I'm just ignoring that for now and still holding off for a few more weeks because
I think it's the roles holding her up, to be honest. She's got a heavy base.
Lots of stability
there.
Oh, little darling. Well, soon enough we'll be there. So we'll make sure we share that too.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Boob to Feed the podcast. Today I have Kate in the hot seat because Imogen is starting solids. So if you're new here, Imogen is her third baby and I can't believe she's about to start solids.
Neither can I. Honestly, I feel like, wasn't she literally born yesterday?
Yes.
Was she ever a newborn? I don't know.
I don't know. She's huge, so not really. I swear she jumped to size zero clothes in one night. So.
Yeah, kind of.
But yeah, it's
bizarre to think that, because how old is she now?
So she's 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
My gosh.
It's just, so weird. Yeah. I just can't wrap my head around, like, I think about 5 months of pregnancy or 5 months of just like normal life. It's like, oh, that's a long time. But then 5 months of her being here, I blinked and then she was 5 months. And now I have to start salts. And like, even it's so unimportant, but thinking about like, oh, her poos won't be like breast milk poos anymore. They're going to become like normal poos. And I don't know, it's just that whole next phase of eating and then it doesn't stop.
Well, I know. I remember with Will, because obviously having boob to food, everyone was sort of hanging out for me to start feeding him so they could see what I was feeding him. But I didn't start feeding him till nearly 7 months because I just kept putting it off because like, it's not as fun as your first. When it's your third, you know what's ahead of you, the mess, the time, breastfeeding them or milk feeding, however you're feeding, it's just so much easier. But with solids does come some independence, which is nice. Yeah. You kind of leave them for a little bit longer and it is fun. There's lots of benefits to it, obviously, and that's what we you know, are all about here at Boob to Food. So we thought we would talk to you about your solids journey third time around, if there's anything you're going to do differently, what your plans are. And so we sort of did a bit of a Q&A to the audience, asked what you guys wanted to hear about Imogen's solids journey. And, of course, we will on Instagram share her solids journey and what Kate's going to be feeding her. I've already given her that job.
But don't get your hopes up, though. I feel like it's not going to be too exciting third time around. Be like,
that's what people want.
What, it's like, they're not exciting?
Yes, things that are easy and not time consuming and, you know, because that's all we're about here. So she's 5 months old. When are you planning on starting? Is she showing any signs of readiness?
So she, out of all of the kids, is definitely the most ready in terms of her desire to eat. I don't remember Jude or Bowie having any kind of interest in what we were eating or putting in our mouth, but she just watches so intently. And like, I know at this age they put everything in their mouth, which she does do that too, but she is like fascinated when she sits at the table with us. And even if I'm eating and looking at her, she's watching, she's laughing, like she seems really keen on food specifically. However, she's not sitting up independently at all. I did put her in the high chair the other day just to see what would happen, and she's like, she's not fully toppling over, but she's certainly not ready. So it'll be interesting to see how she goes over the next month. But I guess what I'm waiting for is that she can sit independently or sit unassisted. So yeah, I don't know when that will be, but whenever that happens, that will be when we start.
And we mentioned that she's a larger side of baby.
Oh my gosh, she's the largest size of baby.
How heavy is she?
She's 10 kilos.
Yeah, we were laughing because Will, my nearly three-year-old, is 11 kilos.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's tiny though. He's not even on the chart. He's under it.
Neither's Emmy. She's off the chart on the other end. And, like, it's so cute and, like, I love her chubby rolls and it makes me feel, you know, kind of confident that if I need to go out for work or whatever, like, she's fine.
She's got some reserve.
Yeah. And at the same time, like, oh, my God, I can't tell you how much pain I'm in. My back is absolutely killing me.
Can imagine.
She's so heavy.
Oh, I love it. I always had such skinny babies that I just, every time I see a chunky baby, I think, oh my God, I just want to squish
them. Nothing fits her because even if you go up sizes, she can't wear, she's the wrong shape for those sizes. So she has to like live in onesies because anything with a waistband, like she can't wear little pants or shorts or anything because it's all too tight. Anyway.
Although we had that problem with the skinny end because I swear,
like, they were long, weren't they?
Yeah, long but skinny, and nappies never fit very well, so that it would always leak through because it was, there was not enough sort of
padding
around it. So anyway, can't win. But some people wanted to know, you know, when you have a bigger baby, should you start solids earlier because they're bigger, more hungry?
No, it's not a factor that you need to consider when starting solids. So I know we've done other podcasts on that. I think a good one to listen back to would be the growth charts that we did with Dr. Eliza. I'll pop that in the show notes, but no, her weight or any weight of your child is not going to be a factor that will change when you start solids or not.
Yeah. I think it's important to remember that breast milk or formula is meant to be their main source of requirement until, nutrient requirement until at least 12 months of age. And that actually has more calories in it than any food that you're going to be offering, or the amount of intake that they're going to have anyway from the food. So just remember that, that that's more important. Also, another question that we were getting asked, and Imogen wasn't preemie, but is a preemie baby, are we recommended to start them a bit earlier? But the advice is still no for that. You go by their corrected age, and so when they – but the biggest thing is the signs of readiness that we talked about. And we do have a podcast – was it our very first one?
Yeah.
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 Where we talk like a lot more in depth about this. So we haven't listened back to this podcast. It's over a year old, and so I don't know like how good quality our speaking is, but the information's there and it hasn't changed. So go back and have a listen to that one, because we talk about it in a lot of depth. And also, if you have our book Milk to Meals, this goes through it in so much detail. It's got everything that you need to know in there. So if you do have a lot of questions, we've got lots of resources. So back to Imogen, what is her first food going to be?
I should have thought about this, but I honestly haven't. And to be completely honest, I think her first food will probably be some modified version of whatever we're eating as a family. I guess like we recommend, I'll probably pick a non-allergen to be her first food, just so she can trial eating it all and make sure that she's okay with just food in general. And then I guess once I move on to the allergens, probably egg would be the first one that I'd go with.
Yeah. So that's usually what we would recommend here is start with something considered low allergenic. I mean, any food can be an allergen, but there are the top nine allergens. And again, we have a blog on allergens if you want to have a look at that. But yeah, just starting with something that's considered low allergenic, like a meat or a vegetable, is going to be great just to see how they digest food in general before you start introducing an allergen, because you want to kind of just make sure that they don't have a reaction to anything. Yeah. And then also you want to sort of know that if you do feed an allergen, that that reaction is considered different, because it might not be a full-blown anaphylaxis or a hive reaction, but you might notice some gut discomfort or that their stools change and go, you know, get diarrhea or mucus and things like that. And if you don't know what's normal when they're just on food, you won't know that that might be a potential food sensitivity. So yeah, at least for the first week or so, just stick to those low allergenic foods. And then, yeah, peanut and egg is recommended to start quite early on. The research is quite clear on that. But the research also does say you've got up until 12 months to introduce these allergens. So don't freak out and think, oh, my gosh, I've got to introduce them all the first week.
Yeah.
But for really high-risk babies, the advice is to start those allergens as soon as they are ready for solids.
Yeah.
So the high-risk babies might be the ones with eczema or a really strong family history of allergens, and this is something that you would talk to with your GP, whether you do start those things before 6 months of age, and that might be just popping a little tiny bit of peanut butter in the mouth or egg, and it's not, you know, having full meals.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of grey at the moment, because there's a lot of new research out there and it's very emerging about these introducing allergens, but still the advice is before 12 months. And so, yeah, it doesn't have to be at 4 months, which some people have kind of misconstrued the advice to mean that. So you don't know what a first food will be, something random that you're offering, which is fine. A lot of people ask if we had like a top 10 first foods, what would yours be?
I could
be?
Do that. So top 10 first foods, I think egg would definitely be in there. So as an allergen exposure, but also again for nutrient density. And then it just helps with like opening up I guess what you can cook and offer. I would definitely put liver on the list as well. The great thing about babies is they don't know that it's a bit gross, or some people don't think it's a bit gross, but personally I find it difficult to tolerate, but she won't know any better. liver and red meat, we're looking for those really high iron foods. Bone broth definitely would be in there too. Some root vegetables I think is a great thing to start with. What else? Probably something like avocado and even like I remember the other two really enjoyed like chia pudding. So doing like chia seeds, especially if they, you know, there can be changes to bowel motions. I don't know how Immy's bowel will go at the moment. She's incredibly regular and does a poo without fail every school run that I do.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. and is that probably 10? Maybe something fermented too. That was always a big favourite of the other two. So, yeah, some sauerkraut or other fermented veggies.
Yeah. my kids were the same. We started with the same things. Another thing, though, that we really liked was coconut products, so things like coconut cream and coconut yogurt. They absolutely loved, and I found it just easy to sort of mix in with lots of different things, like the chia pudding, for example. And, yeah, those high iron foods are really important, which are nice slow-cooked meats.
Yeah.
Any meat's going to be nice and high in iron, so sounds like you're up to a good start. A lot of people ask this actually, whether you can combine foods like from the get-go or if you need to do individual foods. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to do individual foods. Absolutely, even from the very first meal, you can offer different things. It's actually really good to offer different things, because then you're getting a mix of, you know, the macronutrients like your proteins, fats, carbs, but then also your micronutrients as well. You're going to make a more balanced meal that way. And then also it's just diversity and offering different foods for them to explore and taste. And if you did one food at a time, it'd take forever.
Yeah.
You see those people that do like first 100 days of food and it's one different food every day. But you're not getting a balanced meal that way. So it's actually just great just to, from the very get-go. The only thing is with the top allergens, you don't want to introduce a top allergen with a new food that the little ones never had before, or mix two different allergens before you've introduced each one at least three times. So you wouldn't do, for example, even egg and coconut cream. It's a random combination. I'm just trying to think. Even though coconut's not an allergen, but if you haven't introduced coconut cream before, you wouldn't introduce the two together. But if your little one's had coconut cream a few times, is totally fine with it, then, yeah, put any allergen into there. Put egg into there, or put peanut into there. But don't do the two allergens at once. So that's your only kind of rule of thumb. Other than that, you can kind of go for gold. Mm-hmm. In our book too, and actually there's a free download on the website, there's a first food guide. And we've got guides for one meal a day, two meals a day, and three meals a day. That's a free download that you can get, and it's really helpful. It's got the allergens marked out, and so you can kind of just pick anything else on that list and know that you can introduce that safely.
I'll link it in the show notes, and I might have to re-download it for myself.
You've got the book, don't you?
Even it's in the
book. You helped write it, so hopefully you've got a copy. Are you going to do puree or baby-led weaning?
We'll definitely do baby-led weaning predominantly. That's what we did with the other two and just found it really easy. I like the philosophy of baby-led weaning and how it can support their development. So that's kind of what I'm inclined to do. That said, I think this time around I probably will do some purees as well, and I'm open to see like what she prefers. I didn't really explore purees at all with the other two. I did eventually for Jude because he was so slow to get into solids. Bowie was great from the get-go and really interested. And Immy, who knows, we'll find out. But I'm definitely open to doing purees, or like using purees as like a dip, or like, you know, just as a way to get more nutrients into her. I also, you know, back when Jude started solids, I feel like I knew so much less. And also there were like La Purée, for example, who we love and have worked with, they didn't exist back then. And so something like that, I'm like, I can see how that would be super easy to have in the freezer. And then I know that she can have something that's really nutritious. She can have the boob to food bundle from La Purée. Yeah. And if we have those days where, you know, what we're eating as a family is not appropriate for her, or I'm time poor and I haven't figured out what we're eating as a family or something like that, that I've got that on hand. So yeah, I'm certainly more open to purees. I was never like really strict baby-led weaning, but it just always resonated more for us. We'll be back after this short break. Today's episode was brought to you by Haka. I have been a longtime fan of Haka for their breast pumps to support my breastfeeding and expressing journey. And now we're moving on to starting solids, which I'm very excited that I can continue to use some of the Haka products there too. Already, I mean, Immy's not eating yet, but I've been giving her the silicon feeder, I guess it is, to just chomp on and bring to her mouth. And she's loving that with frozen breast milk ice cubes in it, but they have such a wonderful range of other products to support your feeding journey.
Yeah, one thing that we loved and honestly still use all the time is their yummy pouch. And it's like a reusable squeezy yogurt pouch, I guess, because we all know how
expensive squeezy yogurt is, and often full of ingredients you might not want to give your little one. So I love being able to just make my own, pop it in there. Great for purees as well. And just, yeah, when you're a busy mum out and about, it really come in handy.
Yeah, I'm excited to give them a go. You can use the code BOOBTOFOOD on the Haka website, which is haka.co.nz for 10% off until the end of 2024.
Now let's get back to today's episode.
And I think it's just good to make note as well. And this is something, again, that we get asked a lot. Do you have to do one or the other? And you absolutely don't have to. Like even as adults, we eat some things with a spoon and some things, I mean, we don't always use our hands, but some things not. And it's fine to do a mix of both.
Yeah.
Even in the same meal, you might do a puree and, you know, load up the spoon and then also offer something for them to chew and gnaw on and play on. And if puree feels more comfortable for you, especially to start with, then absolutely do that. That's totally fine. You can still do this so mindfully, you know, letting your baby help bring the spoon to their mouth, really just trusting their feeding cues. But we do want to introduce some finger food. I mean, really the earlier the better, but by 8-9 months would be perfect. But this doesn't have to be food that they're going to swallow. You could just do something like a resistible food, which is like a hard munchable, which is something that they can't actually swallow. So this could be something like a mango pit or a pineapple core or a big rib bone or something that they're just going to chew on but not actually eat. And that could be a really good way to transition into foods and still get so many of the benefits that they're learning, like mapping the mouth and learning how to chew and just training that gag reflex. You can do these things without that added stress of, you know, potential choking as well. Yeah. So keep that in mind. Now, is there anything that you would do differently this time?
I think doing some purees would be one different thing. But otherwise, probably not. I've always had a very relaxed approach to starting solids. It never really, like, was something that I found too stressful or overwhelming. I think similar approach, just go with the flow, know that she'll get there in her own time. And I don't have that expectation now of like, oh, she has to eat this much food and this many times. And like the worry, I guess, that I had the first time around with is like Jude in that situation, is he eating enough? Which I don't even know if there is such thing as enough because every baby is so different. So I think I'll probably take a similar approach. I guess maybe one difference as well is like I'm less ready to do it now. Only because I'm like, oh, shit, it's another thing to do.
Yeah,
there are so many, more mess, more preparation, more thought, like, but yeah, it comes with lots of exciting changes as well. So I'm excited and also it feels bittersweet.
I feel like third time around, one thing that tends to be different is that they do just eat family meals a lot quicker because you're just doing it and it's, you know, you're already eating a family meal and they're generally still awake. You're already in that 5 p.m. eating dinner routine, whereas with your first, you might still be in that, you know, put the baby down and then you eat dinner. And so I think that's something that's different with the third is that they join the family table a lot earlier, which has so many benefits.
Even now, she's so happy. Like she can be grizzly in the afternoon and then we've been putting her in the bouncer next to Mike at the table so she can't see the table, but she will sit there and watch him eat and she's so happy. And then as soon as he finishes, he'll lift her up and sit her on his lap and she's just beaming. Like she's really keen to be at the family table. So that'll be nice to, be able to do that with her.
But there's so many benefits to that. Like, you know, so many babies, especially first time around, have never really seen someone eat before because we eat when they go to sleep, which is fair enough. Like you finally get a break and you're like, oh, now I can eat in peace.
Yeah.
But then we put food in front of them and expect them to just know what to eat and they've never seen anyone eat before. And so, you know, if you do have a little one that's gearing up to start solids, eat in front of them as much as you can. Put them on your lap. Give them a spoon to play with at the table. Yeah, that's really great just to start these skills. You know, they learn to talk and walk from watching us. They need to learn to eat from watching us too.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will work in your favour. And I guess sometimes this can not work in your favour in terms of having siblings because then sometimes they might want to eat something that's not appropriate for them at their age. How are you going to get around this scenario? Have you thought about it?
Well, I was reflecting on what happened with Bowie and
I don't really recall it being too much of an issue. I guess a big thing as a family, like we don't eat a lot of, you know, ultra processed foods or packaged foods. So from the sense of like what they're consuming, there's not a lot that would be inappropriate. It would only be like if something was a choking risk, for example, or if it was an allergen that she hadn't tried. I guess in those really early stages, it's not so much of a worry because they don't really know or care. Mm. They're just eating what's in front of them, and that's exciting. It's such a sensory experience. It's probably only when they get a bit older. But I always found with Bowie, like just I'd offer her an alternative. It wouldn't be like, oh, Jude's having something, you can't eat it, too bad, nothing for you. Mm. Just finding something that's also appealing to them. And like for a long time, really even still now, like if I said, oh, do you want some strawberries or like, you know, some other fruit or something, like that's still quite exciting. Mm. So I don't know, I can't see it being an issue in our family. And even I think the bigger kids will be quite good as well. Like I've talked to them, they're not really inclined to like put things in her mouth, but as she's starting to now, like she's not crawling or anything, but she can maneuver around the floor, having to say like, oh, we're going to have to be careful about like playing Lego or like having these sorts of things on the floor that Imogen might put in her mouth. And they're really understanding of that. So I also think that I could say to them, oh, like Immy's having this meal with us. She can't have whole macadamia nuts. So maybe we'll save them for when she's having a nap and let's have coconut yogurt instead or something like that. And I feel like I might eat my words, but I feel like they'd be on board with that.
Mm, your kids seem quite compliant, so that's good. I feel like, you know, I've had three kids too. I feel like it wasn't an issue the first like six months of solids. It was more that they were exposed to things that you wouldn't have exposed your first child to. You know, like chocolate, for example, or ice cream.
Mm.
Like Will had these things way earlier than Flynn did. Like Flynn didn't know what chocolate was till he was over three, I don't think, because, you know, he didn't know, so we didn't offer it to him.
Yeah.
Whereas Will would have had that by 12 months for sure, because, you know, as soon as they get to that age where they want what the other kids have, it's pretty hard to avoid. So,
yeah. And I think that's it as well, just knowing like this is what happens when you have siblings, and definitely like the social landscape changes as well. Like in the early days, you're socializing with mostly kids that are of a similar age, so all of those foods haven't been introduced. But yeah, now I think like Bowie definitely had like lollies and ice cream and that kind of stuff way earlier, and you've just got to go with it. And we still, you know, at home do what we do, and then when you're out and about, it's like, cool, I probably would rather that my 18-month-old wasn't having this, but so be it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're now in like the, you know, era of school parties, and so the food at parties is very different to what we would normally offer at home.
Mm.
And Will doesn't leave the table of food. He just gorges. It's so funny. Anyway, he's loving it. Have you got any equipment or anything new or anything you're reusing this time?
We just got a new high chair, so I have the Stokey Trip Trap chair for...
You have three, actually. I have
for each of the kids. We absolutely love them. Like
they are good.
Yeah, it's been so good, and the kids love them. I think I've shared before, they're very protective of their chair. Like they know which one is which, and so Imogen now has her own Trip Trap. And apart from that, like we definitely will reuse, you know, we've got some cutlery, like some of the Grabis cutlery and some like silicone plates and bowls and that kind of thing. But, oh, actually the only other thing, again, thinking that I might do some more purees this time, which I hadn't bothered to get before, was some like silicone food pouches.
Oh, yeah.
I think just being out and about, again, like that might be easier because now we are doing school drop-offs, and then often we'll go from drop-off to dancing for Bowie or to the park or something like that. Mm. So just having something that if Immy does want to, maybe not initially, but as she gets a bit older, want to eat something, that's an easy and pretty mess-free way. So I've got the Haka like silicone food pouches, so they're reusable. And then I can't think of anything else.
Have you got like the smocks? They were my life's. Oh, we'll have to get you some. Actually, you can have some of Will's old ones.
Yeah, cool.
I've just got him the new size up. He's nearly three, and I still think they're just the biggest lifesaver. Mm. The little chomp smocks.
Okay,
because they just.
I don't know, a bib is okay. Like, and I still would use a bib sometimes more to reuse the food, like the ones with the catchy, Roma ones, to be able to like catch the food, which was great. But to have a smock to actually like keep them clean, especially before the school run, if you're doing breakfast or something, oh my gosh, they were a lifesaver. You just chuck them in the washing machine. I could not have done it without them.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think like the season. I remember I used to just a lot of the time when the kids were older, but it was, and it was warmer, they'd just be in a nappy in the high chair. But yeah, she's going to be through winter exploring a lot of food. So yes, a smock would be handy.
Oh, they're so great. I mean, someone just said, how are you prepared to save time? That was my save time thing.
Yeah.
Make sure they've got a smock on.
yeah.
But in terms of preparing food, are you going to do anything to like save time?
Apart from probably ordering some of the purees and having them in the freezer, I don't know that I will, to be honest, because my intention is just that we feed her the family meal. And I'm pretty like comfortable with ways to modify the food that we're eating so that there is a safe, you know, shape and size and texture and all that for her. And just the way we eat in general, it's not like there's nothing that I can think of that's in our regular, you know, weeknight meals that I would have to modify heaps, especially going into winter where we tend to do a lot more like slow cooked meats and soups and that sort of thing. Things that can easily be pureed if that's her preference or easily be offered as finger food. So I don't think that I'll have any time saving hacks.
Yeah, no, I haven't got any advice for you there either. I think just eating the same thing is the biggest time saver though, because no one has time to make more than one meal. So in terms of like the timing of starting solids, like when you're going to offer the actual meal, do you think like you'll do it in the morning or, because this is a thing that I found really hard with having three kids, was trying to work out what time to feed, because now I'm doing things like the school run and, you know, trying to entertain the, you know, well, Flo was 4 when he was born and trying to take her out for the morning. And I just found that, you know, with my first child, I always did that early kind of morning after the first nap. I would do the solids, but then I found with the others, I wasn't home at that time. And I didn't really want to do it out and about because it's so messy. What are your thoughts there? So, yeah, we would do dinner more than anything. Like we were doing an early dinner, and we would still have a good few hours after dinner for allergen exposure, which was good. You know, you don't want to offer it and then go straight to bed. But because we have dinner at 5 p.m., you know, we had a good 2 hours window before bedtime. And I found that easier personally, because then we could just feed that family meal. But, yeah, have you had any thoughts? I think
we'll probably be the same. Yeah, I find the mornings they're not crazy hectic, but if I had to throw in there feeding a baby, that would push me over the edge. Like I slept in half an hour longer the other day and I was like, nope, that ruined my morning. So I don't think we'll be doing breakfast. I imagine it'll be dinner, and then Mike gets to be home as well, and it is that one meal of the day where we all sit together as a family, and we're the same. We eat at 5 o'clock, so usually she's not going to bed until 7:30, so that would be fine and manageable.
One thing that I used to do with Will, I remember now, it just came back to me. I think it was when he started on 2 meals a day and did one. He was sort of, they sort of start demanding that sort of second meal, and he wanted it a bit earlier. Was I used to put the high chair in the shower, in the bathroom while I got ready. So I'd put him there with his food, and then I would like jump in the shower and watch, so I could keep watching him, obviously. And then I would get ready, you know, do my hair, whatever. Whilst he ate, it was great. And then because he was in the bathroom, I would just chuck him straight into the shower and wash off.
Wipe him
down. So there you go. There's a time-saving hack. I guess that's, you know, we don't have to, you don't have to be consistent with timing every day though. So that's really important for anyone to know. If it works for you to do earlier in the morning, do that. But then some days your morning might go to crap and you won't have time, and do it in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You do not have to do it at the same time every day. And it's the same when you progress to 2 meals a day. You don't have to stick at 2 meals a day if you think, oh, actually, like some days I only have time for one, or, you know, they don't seem that hungry. You don't have to do that. Like they're not a robot. We can work around them.
And also like in the reverse too, if you're only on 1 meal a day but you're out and about and there is, you know, something, for example, that is suitable for your baby to try, like they can have little tastes of solids. It doesn't have to be that they sit down for a total meal, but just having a bit of that sensory experience and increasing the skill without it being yeah, it doesn't have to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Is there anything you're feeling nervous about?
I think the main thing, or two things. I'm always nervous about choking, even though we've never had a choking experience. I'm very careful of like how I prepare the food, and that's something that, yeah, I'm very mindful of, and of sharing with caregivers as well, that like we do have to be vigilant about this. So I think, I don't know if that nervousness will ever leave me. But probably the biggest thing with Immy that I am a bit nervous about is we don't have a family history of allergies. So Jude, my eldest, had F-pies. I just feel like I got all the weird and wonderful things. Poor kid, being a naturopath's son, I don't know, just was like a curse. So he had that, but there's no reason to believe that Immy will have the same. But she does have that kind of like allergy look about her in a way. Like she often will get like those hay fevery kind of looking eyes. And she does have some rough patches of skin, which like it's not eczema, but it's just in the back of my mind, like, oh, I probably just want to keep an eye on this as she does start solids. And I obviously really hope that she doesn't have any food allergies, but it wasn't at all on my radar with the other kids. And with her, I'm like, if she did have a reaction, I wouldn't be like totally shocked. So I don't know if I'd say I'm nervous, but I'm just like aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about?
I'm really excited to see her little face at the table, like sitting in a high chair. I think it's just, that's so nice. Like it's so, it is really cute. And yeah, I think moving into that next phase of being a person, not a a potato, it's so lovely to watch. And so, you know, food is something that's really, like, I'm very passionate about food. I love cooking. As a family, we love cooking. Food and mealtimes is quite meaningful. So to be able to include her on that, I am looking forward to. Yeah, I hope that she loves it as much as...
I thought you were going to say you're excited about leaving her.
Oh, no. Nah.
Bigger spaces away.
I mean, yeah, that definitely would help to know that I, yeah, don't have to pump heaps and she might be happier. And also it's like a little activity, like they can, you know, have something to eat and fill some time if I do have to go away.
Yeah.
Yes, that is good. I don't know if I'm excited though. Even that feels bittersweet. Like I like the flexibility, but I miss her and I'm like, oh, it means that she's not going to need me as much.
Yeah. It's a bit different third time around, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Are you doing anything, like offering her anything at the moment to like chew on or play with or anything like that?
Yeah, I have been giving her a spoon, like a silicon spoon, which she's really good at getting to her mouth and she can like turn it around. I don't know how she knows which end, maybe it just feels better in her mouth, but she, she's very good at getting that into her mouth. So we've been doing that a fair bit. But otherwise, oh, I have been also giving her, I've got one of the Haka like silicon mesh teether, not mesh, it's not mesh at all, silicon teether. And I did express some breast milk and freeze that into ice cubes. So on the really hot days, I've been putting one of those like breast milk ice cubes in the feeder and she sucks on that and goes crazy. I thought, oh, great, I've got this stash of breast milk ice cubes in the freezer, but then Bowie also likes them, so she smashed them. It's like good. I'm happy for her to have it, but also I'm like, oh, I don't want to express again.
Yeah, that's so true. I don't know if you had any, but I used to have heaps of colostrum. And so I used to put the colostrum frozen because I didn't end up needing to use it into these teethers.
I hadn't. I was too lazy. I expressed a little bit and then we used some of it early on. I think she had quite a gunky eye for a long time and I put a bit of colostrum in her eye. I'm not suggesting that everyone should do that, but anyway, that's what I did. And I've got one last syringe in the freezer and part of me is like, I want to keep this forever.
Yeah, I think you actually can. Can you get like breast milk necklaces and stuff now?
Maybe I should do that. I just feel sentimental. I'm like, I'm, you know, 99% sure she's our last baby. And so then like, oh, this is the last time I'll have colostrum. I'll probably look back in a year and be like, oh, what a dag. That was so silly.
What's this syringe?
What?
Yeah, you'd be like, what's this syringe in the freezer? Oh, well, we're very excited to follow Imi's journey. And, yeah, we'll make sure we link all of those things in the show notes because there's lots. But just head to our website and go into the search bar. Anything that you want to find is probably on there.
Yeah.
We have so many resources on there. So
we have the whole book.
We have a whole book on it. Yeah, anyway, lots of things to help you along the journey and make it less scary.
Thank you for listening to Boob to Food, the podcast. We hope this episode made you feel inspired, confident, and less overwhelmed in your parenting journey.
Head to the show notes for all the resources mentioned on today's episode. And if you loved this podcast, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review.
See you next week.
Bye.